all my life. Been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice. Got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. With you here live in studio on this sunny Thursday afternoon. See my guy back there with a nice little sports jacket on. Sterling, what's going on with you this afternoon?
It's a good day. It's a good day.
You know what? It's always a good day when you are above ground. But you know what? It's funny you say that. It's a good day. It is a good day. Do want to send our condolences out to the family of Derek Newton, who passed away last night, a former player on the Kansas State Wildcats football team. So passed away last night. It was announced a few hours ago. I knew earlier this morning about it, but wanted to make sure that the family knew about it. So did want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the Newton family and the Kansas State football program as well. Speaking of football, Sterling, there's a Thursday night football game on tonight.
Yeah.
And there's good news and bad news about it. The good news is you can hear that game on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 7 o'clock. Bad news is I got to follow that game tonight between the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers, of course, so you can tune in post-game tonight after the post-game show. I'll be on with the ship with Darren Smith. I'll be joined by Michael Coleman, J.C. Pearson, and Kenitra Pulliams, and we'll talk Chiefs, we'll talk KU football, basketball, and any latest developments that take place between now and later on tonight. Sterling, man, what say you? Who we got on today?
Yeah, it's good news. There's a football game. There's bad news. It's the Panthers and the Falcons. Yeah. We do have Josh.
I don't want you to repeat that.
We got Josh Briscoe joining us today at 3:15 of Almost Entirely Sports.
Sounds familiar.
We're going to talk a little Chiefs, a little NFL, and Glass Animals, which I know you don't know what that is. It's a band.
You know, it's funny you said it.
He was talking about them on Twitter for a while, and so.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you have that conversation because when I saw you tweeted, I'm like, what the hell is Glass Animals? At first I thought it was a movie. Then I was like, nah, it's something that only you and Josh would know about. So, no. You know, I'll take my cues and take a step back on that one.
No, tonight's game, I don't think it's gonna be as bad as most people think it is because Julio Jones is back, Calvin Ridley is there. So, Matt Ryan performs a lot better with Julio Jones. And yeah. Julio Jones should be healthy, so that's good news for the Falcons. Panthers, they're not a good team by any means, but with the with the expanded playoffs, you know, they are fighting for a playoff spot. It looks like Christian McCaffrey will be sitting out another game, so that means Mike Davis will once again lead the backfield for the Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater's been a little, you know, hit and miss this year. I think he's probably what you have expected with Teddy Bridgewater as far as he's a fine quarterback. He's not going to lose you games, probably not going to win you games, but he's a fine quarterback. They got a couple of really good wide receivers. Was it DJ Moore? And then Robbie Anderson, who first year there from the Jets. He's been very good this year. Robbie Anderson's been a huge improvement for this Carolina Panthers receiving core. I had the Panthers in this game, but I do think it's going to be a fairly close game.
I'm going to say that because I do got to make my picks. I'm going with Carolina as well, though. That's just, it's like a 50.1 to 49.9, only because since they made the transition from the head coach to Raheem Morris, they're 1-1, but, yeah. You know, they lost last week. They should have won that game last week against Detroit, so they could easily be, you know, 2-5 coming into tonight's game.
They should have won more games than this. They easily could be, hell, 4-2.
They should have beat the Cowboys.
But for the past, what? 3 years, pretty much ever since that Super Bowl appearance, they have been
beat themselves.
Yeah, they beat themselves. They find ways to lose games. It's almost like the Chargers, where you know they're going to be in a close game. I mean, it's true. The Falcons, the Chargers, they will be in close games, even against good teams, but they will find a way to lose when it matters most.
Can't disagree with you at all. Obviously, Todd Gurley, you know, didn't realize that Gurley is actually tied for the lead with the in the NFL with 7 touchdowns.
He always gets touchdowns, man. he has a nose for the end zone. He may not be the most efficient running back. He's definitely not. I don't think he's in the top 10, I would say, in my opinion, as far as running backs in the NFL right now. But the fact of the matter is he finds a way to get into the end zone. He's broken off some decently big runs. That knee looks better. Todd Gurley's actually been a factor this year for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and Julio, of course, he returned last week, had 8 catches for 97 yards. So perhaps we're starting to see what this offense could be. Man, you know what? Now that I think about it, Mm.
I've picked the Falcons probably four times this year, and they've blown every single game I've picked, so I decided to learn my lesson. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So
That means we both got to stop picking the Cowboys.
I don't know if I even picked the Cowboys. I got Washington last week. Come on now.
You did.
Give me credit there.
I give you credit. I mean, I was still a game better than you, so you know, I need my credit
sure?
on that. Oh, I'm positive on that one. No, when I look at it now, since I haven't posted my, since I haven't made my picks just yet, I might have to go opposite of you because now that I think about it, man, I'm going to go with the Falcons with the upset.
You know what's funny? The reason why you won last week was because I picked the Falcons and Matt Stafford drove down and beat them with 0 seconds left. I've learned my lessons. I like this Falcons team. They're a fun team to watch in the fact that the games will always be close. They'll probably be high scoring. I mean, realistically, with Matt Ryan, the first few weeks of the season, he was throwing the ball 45-plus times a game. It's just that defense is abysmal. I don't know what they're doing right now. I don't know if they're going to start tearing down and trying to trade off. Because we've seen teams around the NFL who know they don't have a chance already start tearing down the roster to try to trade them. I mean, Dallas Cowboys tried, but they couldn't get anything. That's another story in of itself. Minnesota Vikings, you know, Jacksonville. We've seen teams tear down. Are the Atlanta Falcons the next team to start trading off any of their assets?
You know, the only thing that now is making giving me cause to pause is I look at what their defense gives up. 426 yards.
It's brutal.
Man, you got me on the air center just really, really thinking about what I should do.
See, I locked mine in. If I wouldn't have locked it in before, I'd be flip-flopping too. But once you lock it in, I can't go back on my, you know, my picks. Can't do it.
I'll do it, man. I'll go out on a limb. I'll go Falcons.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to put any money on this game, but I will go Falcons tonight. Speaking of fire sales and things we talked about, that we didn't talk about them yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys, they pretty much were trading and letting people go. I know one of them included former Kansas City Chiefs defensive lineman Dontari Poe. Of course, Jerry Jones said it was due to his weight, being able to maintain his weight. I know Mike McCarthy says more performance-based. Wherein lies the truth in that?
Both. I think he's overweight, and he hasn't performed.
I don't know what the definition of overweight is for him.
They said he is 30 pounds over what he should be playing weight. I mean, that's not like a 5-pound differential. If you were 30 pounds over what you should be, your playing weight should be, and you're not performing, it'd be different. Remember when Shaq was overweight, but he was still putting up numbers?
He was still Shaq, yeah.
Yeah. Dontari Poe is overweight, but not putting up numbers. He only has 7 sacks this year. All the Dallas Cowboys.
You mean 7 tackles.
7 tackles, sorry. Yeah, 7 sacks would be absurd. I apologize. 7 tackles. And the thing is, he's not going to be a big tackle guy. He's not going to be a big pressure on the quarterback guy. He's supposed to be there to, you know, stop up the middle, force running backs to take on 2 linemen. He's not done that. He's getting pushed back by 1 guy. I mean, Dallas Cowboys fans are upset at Dontari Poe, and at some point, the name is not living up to the expectations. You're not making the playoffs this year. You might as well see what you got with some younger guys.
The only problem that I have, and I don't really look at it as a problem, is that you knew he was overweight during training camp, because it's not like he put on 30 pounds between week number 1 and week number 8. You know that I cannot see that, because you're burning even someone that size is still burning calories and shedding weight versus putting weight on. That's the first thing. Second of all, I think it's more excuses on you're letting these players go, which you still got to pay them, which is the thing too. So if you can't trade them and get anything for it, you cutting them still counts against your salary cap, and you're paying them still. Versus, you know, if anything, whooping them into shape or you know, getting the most out of it. Thirdly, like I said, how much of that falls on Mike Nolan, the defense coordinator? How much of that falls on Mike McCarthy? Because it's easy to use those players as scapegoats. But it starts from the top down. I mean, you know, if you're saying that they've been cut because of performance, well, hell, what about the head coach, and what about the you know, especially the defensive coordinator?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Dallas has struggled way worse. Even when Dak was healthy, they were struggling way worse than expected, especially that defense. But at the end of the day, maybe they thought Dontari came in a little heavy and they thought he would be able to wean it down, and he wasn't able to. you know.
But here's the thing, you know, they got rid of Clinton Aha Dix before training camp or during training
camp.
And
I like Ha Clinton Dix. I thought he,
which is why you get it now. I don't know how much of the kneeling had anything to do with it. But again, you could have, I mean, but you knew he was overweight then. Maybe you thought, okay, let's see what we can get. But you signed Clinton Dix during the off season, so you didn't get anything from him, but you paid him damn near $3 million to go home.
The thing with Dontari Poe is he has no trade value.
I'm saying when you say he's 35,
but even before when he was at the Carolina Panthers, do you remember him? He played with the Carolina Panthers. I think 80% of NFL fans, casual NFL, would say they probably forgot he even played for Carolina.
You forgot because
the Falcons.
He played for the Falcons.
But even with the Falcons, though, he really wasn't that great.
I think it was great, but you knew he was there because obviously that's where he went after Kansas City, and then ended up, like you said, in Carolina to now end up in Dallas, not end up unemployed.
My thing is just, I think his performance had more to do with it than his weight, than with anything else. I think his performance, the name was, he was so good in Kansas City. I mean, he was extremely good. He was a unicorn.
Winning helps too. I mean, you wasn't winning in Dallas, you wasn't winning in Atlanta when you went, and you wasn't winning in Carolina. So I mean, and the question, you know, people ask me, Dan, do we bring him back? I'm like, nah, not really. I mean, I like the guy.
Too. He seemed like a great guy. He was fun. I mean, the past the end zone.
Man, we'd be at the barbershop and he'd crack jokes and tell me secrets. I'm like, man, really? Oh, yeah. But
is he better than Mike Pinnell? At this point in their careers, would you take him over Mike Pinnell?
Honestly, put it like this. Well, I don't know. If I knew his knees or his back, I know he had back issues when he was in Kansas City. And, again, I don't know how much of that is still the case with him being overweight. I would give him a chance only – now, this is just me.
But someone's probably going to get cut.
Yeah.
Who you cutting? That's what it comes down to. That's what I'm saying, Mike Pinnell.
You want to know who I cut, Darwin Thompson?
Oh, no, but it's going to be on the D-line.
Oh, okay.
That's my point is, Darwin Thompson's not even the roster. I mean, right now you got DeAndre Washington who suited up last week. I mean, Darwin's basically on the 55-man roster. I don't know if he's going to see much playing time again
this
season.
That was something I literally addressed with Eric Bieniemy today, which if you want to find the audio, we can. But I'm with you. Look, let's take a quick timeout. And when we come back, I do want to ask Mr. Briscoe to play general manager for us. You're listening to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM.
This is Glass Animals.
That's fine. I'd like to be there.
It's kind of groovy, right? Yeah.
It is kind of groovy. Speaking about Glass Animals, we have someone who I guess knows all about it. On the line with us, the host of Almost Entirely Sports, who's on a sabbatical during this playoff season, it seems, an NFL season, our good friend Mr. Joshua Briscoe. Josh, good afternoon to you, my friend.
Been a little late night AES after Sporting last night, so, you know, not a working sabbatical with
that. How you been, man?
Not too bad. I've been listening to that Glass Animals album a lot. And I'm not like a Glass Animals like super fan. I never really got super into them until I finally heard their new album, which came out like a couple months ago. I finally heard it the first time like a week ago, and it's one of the only things I've listened to since then. So that's where I'm at.
I thought it was funny because you were getting into it with some folks on Twitter, you know?
People not getting into it.
Yeah, that's true. If there was one guy on Twitter who gets into it a lot, it's probably Josh Briscoe.
I've tried to do less of that, honestly, and I honestly also think this is one of the reasons I like that album and like just sort of where my headspace is right now. This is good. I've got to get to talk about my headspace. I got to get some things off my chest here. I think I'm just trying to like do a little bit less in terms of like, I don't need your scary movies. I don't need your stressful video games. I don't need some really aggressive music right now because the entire universe is that all the time at the moment. I don't really need your Twitter fights. I'm trying to listen to music that makes me feel good, and then, you know, play some, like, Animal Crossing and Among Us, and then watch some sports. Like, that's kind of where I'm trying to kind of find a little soft spot in. I don't know if you guys know there's an election coming up, The things are bad.
I've not heard about it. This is news to me. Yeah, I've not heard about anything. There's an election.
You know what? Hold on. You know what, Briscoe? I'm glad you mentioned
it. Who are we voting for?
Uh-oh.
No, what are we voting on? Like, I don't. What are we voting on? Is it like
president?
Who's the best? Is like power rankings? Who's the best team in the NFL?
Yeah, it's sort of like power rankings, except for you only pick like the best team, and of the best team, I mean like you get
the MVP.
Much, like, two options on most things. Yeah, it's more like an MVP vote. Yeah.
Very quickly, I do want to say something because I just saw this and it was cracking me up. What do you think about Chris Jones saying, you know, the Jets are actually a really good football team. You just may not know it because they haven't won a game yet. You know, was that just a little slight attack at the Jets, or do you think he was being serious there?
I honest to God, I think he was being dead serious. And I think a lot of the things we've heard from Andy Reid this week also, like
a well-coached team.
Well-coached team is strictly not true, but you can't really be an NFL head coach or an NFL player and not understand that there are great players on terrible teams all the time. I mean, that's just sort of part of the MO. Like, you know, Quinnen Williams is a beast, and honestly, Sam Darnold is probably much better than he gets credit for. Also, in the grand scheme of like the quarterback position, Sam Darnold's amazing. He would go tear up the Big 12 right now if he went back to college. But so I think you have to have respect for the other people in that profession. You know what I mean?
In fairness, the Jets are the 32nd best football team in the world. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I honestly, I think that's a pretty good way to put it. I think that's actually really good. Yeah, they're the 32nd best football team in the world, and that makes them obviously the worst team in the NFL, and also way better than, you know, Clemson still. Probably.
You know what? I beg to differ, and I think about
that. Come on. You're not telling me a college team could beat the Jets. Any team that's ever gone 0-16 in the NFL would wax the floor with any team in college.
Okay, understand something. I actually watched the games a little bit differently than you because I actually bet on these games.
That's even a worse way to watch that.
No, it's not, because it lets you know just how bad some teams are. The Jets are bad, man.
And they would still win by 21 points probably if they played Clemson or Alabama.
I don't know about that one. Only because, one, they're not coached. Now, I would say this. I'd say that the defense will get after the offense because of Greg Williams. But offensively, I don't know if they can move the ball against Clemson. That's just how bad this Adam Gase team is.
You're telling me right now.
No, I am dead ass serious.
On both sides of the ball.
There's no chance that Clemson. So you're telling me right now everyone on Clemson is an NFL caliber player.
See,
that's what you're saying.
First of all, I don't need you to tell me what I said. I know what I said.
It's a terrible take.
That's your opinion. What I said was that this offense, who can't move the ball in the NFL, would not be able to move the ball against that Clemson defense.
Briscoe, come on here.
Nope.
I want to know what Darren said. I'm glad you brought up the election, and I want to know what he was going to say before you asked me about Chris Jones.
Yeah, you're scared right now to answer, Briscoe. Come on.
I don't think that there's probably ever been in the modern era, at least, an NFL team that would actually be a college team. I think the Jets would struggle. They would struggle in moments. I think they have too much NFL talent. Even if Clemson has a lot of it, the Jets have all of it, like their whole roster. Even if some guys who are starting should be backups, and some of their backups shouldn't be on a roster. But I'm not heated about it either way, to be honest.
No, trust me, I get heated about it when I see, like, damn it, you can't get 5 more yards on the ground before you end this game. That's, you know what I'm saying, costing me money. Look, what I did want to say was I need people to go out, vote on November 3rd. Residents of Kansas City, Missouri may call the Kansas City branch of the NAACP at 861-421-1191 for a free ride to the poll. And it's funny you said about voting, Joshua, because Sterling finally did his civic duty on yesterday.
Yeah, I voted yesterday.
Excellent. I'm on the Missouri side, so for me to vote early, I have to sacrifice a goat at this point, basically. It's been I lived on the Kansas side my whole life until recently. I did not know the hassle that Missouri was bringing, but they are trying to still get everyone to vote in person day of, and it's not ideal.
Yeah, I voted. It was amazing in Kansas. I went to the Overland Park Heritage Center, which was just Brooks Brothers guys, and I just went and voted.
Brooks Brothers.
took me 10 minutes. In and out in 10 minutes. It was extremely easy. It was fun. It was exciting.
Hey, Briscoe, look, now, unlike you and I, Isn't it amazing that when you're part of the 1% class, nobody tries to stop you from voting? Nobody tries to put in things that keep you from voting? This guy
gets in and out 10 minutes. Our best influence is to get a 1%er like Sterling to the polls because we know his vote's going to count.
Exactly. Who did you vote for?
I don't talk politics on radio, boys.
You ain't got to. I get in enough trouble for that anyway, but I'm good. I'm good with that. But Briscoe, I do want to ask you, I know you were out at the Chiefs Stadium yesterday with your jet green Kansas City baseball cap on. But that being the case, I did want to ask you to play Brett Veach for a moment. I know we faced the Jets on Sunday, but there is a trade deadline that happens to also coincide with Election Day. However, the deadline ends at 4 o'clock Eastern versus 7 o'clock Central for the polls and stuff. If you were Brett Veach, what moves would you try or would you look at making before the deadline, trades and whatnot, by Tuesday?
I think the precursor has to be that anything substantial is probably unlikely. There's been a little bit of a rumor here or there about Quinn and Williams who we're going to see on Sunday. I just don't think that we're going to see many teams legit tanking that way, because another administration, for lack of a better word, is going to come in for the Jets, right? Like they can't let Adam Gase, Bill O'Brien himself right now. So that would be like the blockbuster that I'd be kind of excited about, just because I think that splash, especially if it was for a late second round pick, would be great. I understand at this point that, like, any offensive lineman that gets released or that seems like they could be attainable for a late-round pick, the Chiefs should call about, just because the depth there is been weakened pretty much every game of the season, it seems, and even before the season, obviously, with LPT opting out and all of that. So I could see them trying to make a move that looks a lot more like the standard Brett Veach, like, Reggie Ragland-style trade or a Darren Lee, like, sixth-round pick kind of thing. I can see something like that happening, but it's even more difficult than usual now because you have all the COVID regulations and everything. So if I had to bet, I think I would just – I think I'd probably get even money on just, like, any trade or not, and I would say that they probably don't make a move by the deadline. And if they do, my hunch is that it would be for something like depth across the offensive line.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Honestly, I'm relatively okay with who we have on the offensive line. I do think some depth would be nice, but I do like what Allegretti has shown. I think he stays. I do really like what Kilgore has done. I think he stays at center. And Mike Remmers has done a fine job at right tackle, filling in for Mitchell Schwartz. I don't know if you have any update as far as when you expect him to be back, but I wouldn't mind if the Chiefs actually looked at corner. I know that they've been fine, but they've struggled in a couple of weeks already, as they've shown. I know Chavarius Ward, once he gets his hand healed, he'll be good to go. Legarius Sneed, once he gets his collarbone fixed, he'll be good to go. But in the meantime, I wouldn't mind a veteran guy. I know Eli Apple was released. I think, yes, he has caused some problems in the past, but I wouldn't mind taking a look at a veteran guy to bring in at cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, I just have been saying that same thing for like 2.5 years now, and the Chiefs just constantly tell me no. So, I mean, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I'd be kind of surprised if they did anything. I think at this point, you wait for Sneed to get back, and you feel pretty good about what you've gotten so far. Because the Chiefs have such a type there, right? A corner, we're just like, yeah, we'll take the fast, lanky guys, and we'll coach them up, and things will work out just fine. So, it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit, like I've said for literally, again, 2 years. I'm like, I think they should add another veteran corner to put in the mix. I just don't really expect them to. They do have some salary cap space still. Le'Veon Bell took up barely any of that. And then on the line, I mean, I think the actual performance from the guys starting is fine. And obviously, whenever Schwartz gets back, I don't know when that'll be. He's obviously not practiced yet this week. But whenever they do try to, you know, get more of their starting pieces back into the mix, you feel better about the depth. Right now, though, I think you're looking at the depth as the biggest issue. They brought back Brian Witzman onto the practice squad. Like, they protected one of their practice squad offensive linemen from being claimed anywhere else this week. So clearly they're trying to bolster that up a little bit. Not because you're going to bring somebody in to whatever play over Allegretti, who I actually wonder if he'll stay there even whenever Schwartz gets back. But we just don't know yet. I don't think you're trying to bring in someone to replace one of those guys immediately, but just trying to make sure that you're confident in having enough bodies across that offensive line at this point. That's more kind of what I would be honed in on.
Shout out to Steve Walls with the comment of the day. Strolling on here looking like a hedge fund investor. Hair slick back and all. Man, looking like $1 million.
Thank you, Steve.
But Josh, what I tell you, there's people like us who are common folk, and then we got to deal with we got to put up with the one percenters. I just don't get it.
And listen, what I'm trying to do is to be nice to Sterling, and I tell him I'll come on the show and stuff, because whenever he is ready to be my boss, whenever he can buy and sell me, I just want him to be kind about it, you know? Like, I'm just looking for a living wage out of Sterling in a few years.
You'll get a phone call, Briscoe. How's that? You know, I won't just trade you without your knowledge. How's that?
Yeah, that would be nice. I just opened up the Facebook Live, and Sterling's got a big, like, swoop in his hair now, too. Like, yeah, there's a lot. What do you look?
Well,
Sterling looks like he hasn't fully figured out his Harry Styles costume for Halloween.
Dude, I've not got a haircut since March because of COVID. I sent Briscoe pictures every once in a while. Just a
hold on.
Not what it sounds like.
Okay.
Of my hair.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, so luckily HR hasn't found. No, I'm kidding. What I look like with random baseball players. I got Nicky Lopez down. I got the Nicky Lopez hair down. I get the Zach Greinke hair. I can do that one pretty good. And I have the new Josh Staumont hair down where I can do a little ponytail on the back. You know, underneath the Royals hat, it's getting there.
I'm getting this show back on track. Look, I gotta ask you, Josh. Now, you know, Brett and Andy, they've been known to strengthen their strength, which is why they brought Le'Veon in. Could you see? Because I know Sterling and I talked about it a little bit last week that it looks as though the Falcons at one point looked at maybe, you know, trading Julio Jones because, you know, they're not going to make it to the playoffs. I don't care if they are 1-6 and maybe 2-6 after tonight. But, you know, do you see what you can get for Julio Jones? And, I mean, if you're Kansas City, I know you look at, quote-unquote, the contract, but there are ways to renegotiate. There are ways to look at an offset. But also, if you strengthen your strength, granted, you don't know whether or not Sammy Watkins is going to get injured again, leading to the playoffs. Granted, Byron Pringle and, you know, DeMarcus and McColl, they're good, but they're not Julio Jones good. I mean, if you're Brett Veach, who found a way to, extend contracts of, what, $700 million out of $177, you don't think he could figure out a way to actually, get Julio in underneath this contract?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would call them. Like, I would absolutely be like, hey, so Esther, answer my nice reports because I'm interested. Because, yeah, I mean, he essentially would come in and, you know, for, like, all of the times I've wanted McCole Hardman to develop a little bit more, be used more even, he would come in, Julio would come in, and he would kind of play that Sammy Watkins role. And whenever Watkins is also back out there, you just have an absolute embarrassment of weapons. Obviously, I do think they could figure that out against the cap years down the road. You're probably extending him on some level. I imagine Julio would be just fine with being in Kansas City for longer. They are going to eventually run into just some you're moving big pieces around, right? And eventually you start getting a little bit stuffy in there. So I think that is something that in the long run you have to be cognizant of, but doesn't necessarily stop the conversation from happening. The thing that I think stops the conversation from happening is more back to something that our friend Nate Taylor of The Athletic has mentioned many times over. Clark Hunt wants to keep his draft picks. And every time he says that, I think, like, that's coming from something. There's something to that where they have moved a lot of picks for guys, and my hunch at this point is that we won't see any major moves. I would have no issue with the move for Julio, though. I think that'd be a blast.
But here's the one thing about that. Even if you get Julio, and if you're Kansas City, you're expecting AFC Championship Super Bowl appearances. So you're going to be at the bottom of the first round anyway, which is no different than a high second round draft pick. So, I mean,
The extra year.
Well, that is true. But here's the thing. But if you're constantly going to, late into the postseason to the Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to offset one of them because one, you're getting Lombardi trophies to offset that. And here's the thing. The only position that you're not worried about over the next decade is your quarterback. And the thing is, you're always going to have to get valuable pieces for your quarterback. So whether it's wide receiver, look, there are still question marks about McColl. as quiet or as loudly as it is, there's still question marks about it. If you bring in a Julio, or let's say you don't bring in Julio, you just go with what you go. Who's to say that Kansas City, if they're not impressed by the growth from year one to year two, that they're not looking for another wide receiver this year? And here's the thing,
I think they do draft one.
And you look at that, but you got to remember, you're going to have players with Patrick and Tyreek and Kelce salaries, and you're going to have everybody else down there on the offense. So you can afford to do that because you're always going to be drafting younger and drafting somebody else's replacements by bringing veterans in who are going to want to have a chance, play for a Super Bowl, and, you know, get that veteran minimum if need be.
Well, Briscoe, let me throw this to you. The only pushback I'll have to that is you can only get so good at one position because there's only one football. There's only one ball to throw around, and I don't want the Chiefs to end up in a Tampa Bay
situation.
Well, no. I want to liken it to, say, the Detroit Tigers. Remember when Detroit was so top-heavy? They had, you know, Victor Martinez, Verlander, Miguel Cabrera. All their money was going to about six guys. And then they were filling it out with what we're saying now, veteran guys, cheaper
kinda
guys.
What it looks like now.
It didn't work out though for Detroit. I know it's a different sport, but that's the best comparison I can come up with. What do you think of that, Briscoe? Do you think that's a good comparison of you don't want the Chiefs to get too top heavy to where the veteran to the bottom line guys just can't perform and keep up?
I think the biggest fundamental difference between any conversation you can have about baseball to football is something that comes by keeping your draft picks. Is with you get almost plug and play ready guys for minimum contracts every year through the draft. Like, that's kind of where that you are going to have an easier time getting cheap talent in the NFL that contributes right away because you expect that from your draft picks. I mean, you can look at your early picks, but even at guys like, we brought up Legarius Sneed, like the guys down the roster, even undrafted free agents. Obviously, spending more money at the top of your roster makes all of your other movements even more important, and so it's why you don't want to miss on big contracts. Obviously, and you've got to get value from your rookies. You've got to find Daniel Kilgore, or you know, even before that, Austin Ryder. You can't also pay your center $10 million a year. It can't be Mitch Morse, which, you know, they made that call back whenever Mitch Morse was here. So I'm not worried about it in sort of the macro sense of like, oh, there's too much money on these guys. The cap keeps going up, and you are pretty consistently replacing guys towards the end of their careers with rookies through your draft process all the time. So I think that that's a little less dangerous than most people end up giving it credit for, because that system is kind of built into place. And I do think that adding as many weapons to the offense as you can always makes sense, because like Tyreek Hill's numbers this year, there have been plenty of games where he's been real quiet. He's always impacting the defense. There's only one ball, and he's not getting the ball as often, but he is taking the defense with him in a way that is opening up things for Byron Pringle or DeMarcus Robinson or whatever. So I'm not really worried about that. I do think, though, that you don't want to totally disrupt the cycle that I was mentioning a second ago of, you know, if that first-round pick becomes an old receiver who gets a bunch of money and maybe he's not producing in years three or four of a big deal that you restructure for Julio Jones, then you run into a problem. As long as you're spending money on guys who are playing well, though, you're going to largely be fine.
One other flip side of that is that we got to remember that our quarterback is someone who does not have a problem renegotiating his contract to make sure that he gets the players in that he wants on offense, especially if he sees somebody out there that, okay, what I need to restructure my contract, take a few million less.
Come on.
He left money on the table to bring Chris Jones back.
He did once. What makes you think he's going to do it again? Take even less.
Because he wants to. He's trying to build a legacy. He's not trying to take it to the bank.
You don't know that. I mean, trust,
he's got
Patrick.
Other outside investments Hold on. Sterling.
You can't just say he's going to take less money from Julio to come in.
First of all, I didn't say what I said. He would not have a problem with it. What you're not understanding is Patrick Mahomes wants to build a legacy. His legacy is only going to come, and I know Steve said he's not going to. No, he will do it again.
You don't know if Patrick is going to do that. I'm not saying
Patrick wants to win trophies. He wants to win trophies. Now, to win trophies, he has said he has to have talent around him to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to do it this year again, Stephen Q. Walls. But what I'm saying is that he's got a contract for the next 11, 12 years. So if he does that, I mean, if he wants to continue to bring talent in, because you can only draft so many players that are going to be able to contribute young, that's going to look like a Tyreek or a Sammy or something, versus bringing veterans in. That if you can bring a Julio in, you get three good years out of Julio. One, because he's just better than most of the, probably better than Tyreek, than most of the wide receivers. You get good play out of those two, then you can have a McColl still become your third wide receiver, and then draft underneath him to replace him someday. I'm just saying, I mean, there's stuff out there that you can do.
I think the one thing on the Mahomes restructuring, and it's not an immediate conversation, but down the road some, his deal's going to get restructured because they're going to also add years to it, which is going to be beneficial for both of them. It'll take some money out of the immediate, but it's not going to be Mahomes taking a pay cut. It's going to be him saying, like, yeah, I have plenty of money right now. I can have, you know, the cap hit in 2027 for him right now is $60 million. They're not going to give him $60 million in 2027. They're probably going to do is add $5 million for a few years after that, so they can cut that one by a little bit less. Like, we're going to see this contract is going to be pliable over the course of it. I think that's true.
Bobby Bonilla.
I think that it's important. I think it's important to make the distinction between pay cut restructuring and more years restructuring. I think that's going to be important over the course.
Hold on. Now, I never said he's taking a pay cut. I just
you did. You said you're going to get pay cut. He is going to restructure.
Did I say pay cut?
Briscoe, he said pay cut. My thing
did is, I say pay cut? Did I say restructure?
No, you said pay cut.
Okay. I don't know if either of you said either of those things. I'm just saying for everybody listening, there's going to be restructure. I think typically you think about restructuring and you think about what Watkins did this year. Where like that dude took a pay cut.
Yeah, he took a pay cut
here instead of getting cut. Alex Okafor took a pay cut and killed the next year of his deal. Like those, that's one type of restructuring. For Mahomes, it's just going to look very different.
Yeah. For me, if I'm Kansas City, I think at the end of the day, just roll with what you got. I honestly think Kansas City is the best team in the NFL. I know some people want to say it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, if you're truly going to put those two teams against each other, who you picking? What's Vegas going to say? They're probably leading with the Chiefs, wouldn't you say? I think that's the best way, in my viewpoint, that you can do all the power rankings you want, but at the end of the day, what doesn't lie? Vegas doesn't lie. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. Bringing in Julio's great and all. I think there's other ways you can make Kansas City better incrementally, but I think you roll with what you got, and I'm with you, Briscoe. I don't think any big move is going to happen this year.
Well, because I think the biggest thing there, though, I mean, I think if they see a place where they can improve their standing this year, I don't think they see it as we're number one, we're good. Like, I think that you want to maximize your team in as many places as possible, but I don't think we're going to see a lot of moves that look like the Frank Clark move from this point forward, because they're trying in the Mahomes trade-up also, to be honest. I don't think we're going to see as many of those moves because I do think they're trying to build something that is sustainably excellent for a long time. I think, you know, you saw them trade it for Mahomes, obviously, and then again, like for the Frank Clark deal, I think you saw moves like that in large part because they were trying to sort of get that foundation of what will ultimately become a more sustainable long-term success. I don't know what they would see again. Like, let's just keep using Julio. I don't know what they would see the immediate benefit juxtaposed with the long term cost of that ultimately being. But I do think those are conversations being had. Like, they're in win now mode, you know, to use a kind of an overused phrase. But I don't think that they're going to hamstring themselves down the road and cost, you know, give up a first round pick they intend on using. So, like, as much as I don't think they should have drafted a running back in the first round, they're going to have Clyde on a rookie deal for the next 4 or 5 years, depending on what that 50-year option ends up being. But, like, that's an offensive element that they're going to have at a fixed cost for a long time, and there's value in that. Wouldn't have hurt my feelings any if they would have drafted a receiver at 32, and I think they will draft a receiver again really soon. But I think that's sort of the logic there. And frankly, you're going to see that you saw that with Willie Gay, that second-round pick. They could have traded that for a veteran linebacker they could have paid. Instead, they're saying, no, I think Willie Gay can hold that down and he'll be that guy over years. So I just think that it ultimately kind of revolves around that part of the conversation in large part.
Before we get you out of here, Josh, your thoughts on Tampa Bay acquiring Antonio Brown, and what does that do for the Super Bowl pick or for the Super Bowl run?
It's interesting. I mean, I was a little bummed just because, like, and I don't know. I'm not surprised, I guess, although Bruce Arians just straight up, I mean, just lied to all of us.
Yeah, lied to everyone.
He got his opinion changed
for
him.
He just played the media. That's all he did.
But it kind of bums me out a little bit just because of the way that the Antonio Brown story evolved was like, oh, like there's like some serious stuff in here that I'm not really excited about. Like the fact that he got that report came out and he was suddenly on everyone's fantasy teams again, like everything was totally normal. But from purely like on field football analysis, it makes sense that's value. It makes as much sense as the Chiefs signing Le'Veon Bell. The Chiefs didn't need another running back. The Buccaneers didn't need another pass catching option, but if you can do it on a really easy value, a really low value that you think your locker room can handle, you do it. I think that theirs is a riskier move. It also has higher upside than the Chiefs adding Bell, though. So I actually think those two moves can be kind of similarly discussed, where they move the needle a little bit. They would move it more if the guy ahead of them gets hurt, obviously. But I also think it makes sense because it's a relatively low risk, relatively high reward. For the Bucs, so just like it was to add Le'Veon Bell for the Chiefs.
So just curious, who was your Super Bowl prediction? What's your Super Bowl prediction? What two teams are meeting?
I think I had Chiefs Seahawks. I got the magazine over here. I can tell you in 2 seconds. I know I had Russell Wilson MVP, which I feel pretty good about. Let me see. I'm flipping through. So, I think I had Chiefs Seahawks.
So your team let Russ cook is what you're saying.
Yeah. I was all about letting Russ cook. I also think I had two NFC East teams in the playoffs. So I didn't win all of my bets.
Strano, who did you have in the Super Bowl?
Hey, I had Chiefs Saints.
Man, you sound Balls.
Hey, guess what? I can't take it back. I mean, I said Chiefs Saints going into the season. I would be a liar if I said something different.
Who did I have?
Chiefs Bucks.
And I just want to make sure we're on
record. I don't think the Bucks have
as good
of a chance as you think they do.
I don't think the Saints do.
I never said
Seahawks. I had Seahawks. I feel good about myself.
Man, yeah, with Seahawks defense, is a good pick. That was a good pick.
With that defense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking it to my bank personally, but I feel all right about it. I'm not hurt right now. Yeah, I had the Cowboys as a third wild card, and the Eagles winning that division.
The Eagles probably will win, but they'll win six games.
Yeah, and I didn't think that Dak's leg was going to break, and I didn't realize that the Cowboys were going to fall apart at the end. So you know, you live and you learn.
All right, Briscoe, when can people hear you on Sports Radio 810 again or ESPN Kansas City?
5:30 to 6 on Sports Center Kansas City. Well, you know, if you want to maybe you missed some pressers, today we'll have the Chiefs coordinators will bring you some of that. Also, the Sports Radio 810 WHB postgame show presented by CBD American Shaman and Missouri Lottery immediately after the game on Sunday. And we had an Almost Entirely Sports last night with Alec Lewis of The Athletic. You can check that out. Just search for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. It's up everywhere.
All right, Josh Briscoe, host of Almost Entirely Sports, joining us on the show today. Josh, really appreciate the time. We'll do this again real soon.
Always happy to do it. Thanks for voting, Sterling.
Yes, thank you,
Sterling. You're welcome,
voting.
Guys. You're welcome.
Speaking of voting, once again, if you live in the Kansas City area, vote on November 3rd. Residents of Kansas City, Missouri can call the Kansas City branch of the NAACP at 816-421-1191 for a free ride to the poll on Election Day. We'll take a brief time out. You're listening to Darren Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. Thanks once again to Josh Briscoe for joining us on the show tonight. Sterling, should I make some bets on this game tonight?
What you got?
Who's this? Mike Davis, 65-plus rushing yards. Todd Gurley to have 75-plus rushing yards. Anderson has 7-plus catches. Mm. Julio Jones has 7-plus catches, plus 1340.
I wouldn't touch that with the Robbie Anderson is probably the one that concerns me the most. I would say the 7-plus catches seems like a – he's been good, but he's been pretty inconsistent at times. Also, I don't know if Todd Gurley gets 75 yards.
I got to see what he had last game. Matt Ryan have 315 passing yards. Julio Jones 100 receiving yards. Julio Jones 1 touchdown. Atlanta to win plus 1,000. Now, I got Atlanta winning. So
yeah, I would say if you throw $5 on it, I mean, if Matt Ryan – if the Falcons are going to win, that's going to happen in the game. If the Falcons win that game, that's like an 80% chance Matt Ryan's throwing for 315 yards and Julio's going for 100 and a touchdown. That seems very reasonable to me.
Now, a lot of people were on that Gardner Minshew trip. I know you remember our first call, I think, when the season started. My guy Mike, or I think it was Tony, Fat Tony, had Gardner Minshew as his sleeper MVP pick. And now he's got multiple fractures and a sprained ligament in his thumb. I didn't know you could have that many like that.
That was a wild card pick there. Because you know me, I was on the Gardner train as far as I think he's better than a lot of people expect. He's not that good, but he's fine to see what you have. He was a six-round quarterback, you know, not super highly touted. He's got a great persona. The Jacksonville seems to rally around him. He's a fine quarterback, but, you know, what's his ceiling going to be? At the end of the day, Jacksonville's pretty much tanking anyways. If we're being real, Jacksonville's – if they ended up with the number one overall pick, they're drafting Trevor Lawrence.
Well, they don't have the number one pick.
If they go,
that means the Jets somehow won two games.
Okay, say they get number two. They're probably going to draft Justin Fields. So
it's not a good year for your college quarterback. You don't want to go to those teams. I'd rather go to Jacksonville than New York just because of the state tax down there. But, man, you don't have too many good choices. But, you know, but I've always said that's a situation like if you're Dak Prescott and you don't, you know, get a long-term deal with the Dallas Cowboys, you don't – I mean, the chance that you get a long-term deal with someone else, it's higher, but you're going to go to a bad team.
Well, that's what came down with Le'Veon Bell was where are you going to sign? You're going to sign with the Jets or you're going to take less money and sign with the contender? I mean,
I knew that one.
But I'm just saying these are the options when – if you are a – you know, going to the NFL draft this year, you're not going to have good prospects. But let's be real, Cincinnati wasn't a great spot to go for Joe Burrow. I mean, yes, you had some receivers, but you knew you had a bad defense. You didn't have a very good offensive line.
He's been flinging the ball. He's much better than I thought he was going to be in the NFL. He's been pretty good. He and Justin Herbert, the way they sling that football, you know, like if you're a fantasy guy or somebody like me who likes to bet money on little prop bets like that, he's a good quarterback to bet it on because at least he's going to throw the ball and he's going to get some stats. So you always got a chance. Do you like boxing, Sterling?
Do I like it? Yes. Do I watch a lot of it? No. I like it. I enjoy it. It's the same thing with MMA for me. I like it, but I don't typically just watch it.
Well, I know I'm gonna be watching MMA this weekend because Anderson Silva is gonna be fighting. But Mike Tyson's goal, you know, I almost forgot about it. He had the exhibition fight with Roy Jones Jr. His goal is to disable Roy Jones Jr.
Dude, Mike Tyson looks scary. I mean,
he looked scary when he was younger, man.
No. I'm just saying, at his age, being able to move that quickly blows my mind.
Yes.
You know, being that old and still having that sort of power and quickness, agility, I'm like, dude, I hope I gracefully somehow gain strength and quickness as I get older, but he just looks unbelievable. Like, how old is Mike Tyson?
He's 54, I believe. 54.
That's the scariest 54-year-old I've ever seen.
Yeah, next to James Evans, yeah, I would say that, yeah. Because James Evans on Good Times, hey, he disciplined me early in life, okay? A brother like me, I'm going to bed. You ain't got to tell me twice. I didn't want to break out the switch. Look, you know what? The thing that's – I'm going to tell you what scares me most about Mike Tyson. I always go back. I know it's a movie. But I swear, if they had to do multiple takes, his punch on Galifianakis, you know, saying where he knocked him out after doing all this whole stuff and hit him after, you know, for stealing his tiger. I mean, he just put him to sleep, man. Like that,
that's what scares you.
No, I'm just saying. No, I know. Look, I know.
Does fight scare you?
No,
but is
no, hey. Well, no, I expect that from that. But I'm just saying, this movie's like, hold on, man, dude was just he was jeffing with you. And anyway, I want to thank Josh Briscoe for joining us on the show today. Make sure you tune in tonight following the post-game show of Thursday Night Football. I'll be on the ship with Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810 WHB for Mr. Sterling Holmes, who did his civic duty by voting.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it very much. We'll be back on tomorrow with our Week 8 picks in the NFL. You're listening to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. Please wear a mask. Stay safe. Go vote.